It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. Yeah, I'm still a little sick, but Thomas Ferguson, my guest for this first half hour of the first hour, he's going to help me out a little bit here. I'm going to get to say my piece, and he's going to entertain and inform you on what we're going to be talking about. Now, Thomas Ferguson and I, we've spoken in the past, and his thing is that, you know, you can turn the economic and social engineering dials in a certain way and fine-tune America, and we can get it all fixed. I'm for throwing the dials out the window, but, you know, he has a plan. Now, one of the things is that he's focused on campaign finance laws also, but we have a really good example that both of us could make our points on, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Obama replaced Volcker, which used to be chairman of the Fed. They had to give him some street cred, and they came in on this little panel, we're going to save the economy, save America. Well, Volcker's out, and now the CEO of General Electric is in. And I'm going, you know, isn't this the guy that's shipping a whole bunch of jobs overseas? You know, they use all kinds of the dial turning to be able to make sure that, you know, they're doing okay. And they use laws to, I wouldn't say evade taxes, you know, but are they paying their fair share? And what is that anyway? So, you know, it just gets, of course, you're going to have people with means take advantage of a system that gives them more means. Well, they're going overseas. What's he going to do? What kind of practices are they going to employ to bring jobs back to the United States? Do they care? And what role does money and politics play in this? Well, Thomas Ferguson, he's author of the book, The Golden Rule, Investment Theory of Party Competition and the Logic of Money-Driven Political Systems. You have power. Money goes to the power. You want to get the money out of the political system, eliminate the power. There's no getting around it. They'll find it there one way or another. Thomas, I got you there?
Yep. I'm here. I'm, you know, up where I am, it's like 11 degrees. So I am nevertheless feeling warmly, Ernest. So, and I'm sorry you're a little lit down at the around the gills there, but I hope you feel better.
I'm on the upswing. But, yeah, we had a busy weekend. We'll talk about in the next half hour. But, you know, it's nice weather here. But go ahead and tell me, you know, I because we only have you for a half hour. We could go on for hours of this. Wrap this up for me.
Well, okay. Yeah, let me tell you what I think is going on. I mean, the first thing I'd notice is that the Obama administration is plainly gearing up for re-election. It's not simply because everybody else is saying that around the State of the Union, but because this week they're moving their headquarters to Chicago to organize the campaign. Moreover, he's made a string of moves that look a lot like the appointment of Jeffrey Immelt at GE. That is to say, he put William Daley in as his chief of staff, and then he put Gene Sperling in to head the National Economic Council. Now, both of these are very strongly connected to corporate America, for heaven's sake. I mean, Daley was indeed the chief lobbyist and on the board of J.P. Morgan Chase, and one of the largest banks in the world. And then Sperling had worked extensively for Goldman Sachs and a string of other firms there. I mean, this is being billed in the press as the president's move toward the business community. Now, you know, there is this problem that he never got too far from the business community for all the rhetoric. I mean,
well, go ahead and define that. You know, to say business community, you know, I would like to consider myself in the business community, but I'm not in any in the same ballgame as these guys.
I think when you sort of just look hard at the Obama fundraising effort in 2008, and here I don't know that I have anything truly novel to say. It was I was very early on to notice this, but he was very clearly drawing a lot of his major early money from finance. And he is very plainly, again, trying to go back to that well. I mean, the thing that is really kind of scary and that I think you really have to reflect upon is that, you know, he raised a record-setting amount. Somewhere around $700 billion or so? It's a lot. $700 million, I'm sorry. Let's get clear. We're not talking the budget. We're talking campaign finance. He's going to have to raise about $1 billion this time to run in 2012. That is a tremendous sum. You know, there's just no way you're going to do that by, well, I'm sorry to put it so baldly, but I think these folks will probably sell anything that moves by the time they're
How
done.
Much money did you say he's going to have to get?
He's
a couple of billion?
He's going to have to raise about $1 billion. Between now and 2012 to fund his campaign.
Okay, now let me ask some of these questions that just come to mind. I mean,
sure.
Right off top. One, moving to Chicago. Well, you know, I'm sure this isn't lost on the fact that Rahm Emanuel is going to, you know, he's making his effort to be mayor there. They have a large base of, I guess, just people, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was where, I mean, the business community there, and in particular, I mean, what Chicago is now notable for, I mean, people don't necessarily...
Corrupt politics.
Well, they do that, but it's also, it's a giant, it's the mercantile exchange. I mean, you're looking here at one of the biggest money machines in the planet.
Because of corrupt politics.
Futures market, and you know, that then mixes into politics. And that's probably the way to read that. I mean, they're moving this, they want to say it back to home, back to middle America, but you are also looking at what is, in fact, one of the financial capitals of the world. I mean, you're not used to thinking of Chicago like that, but that's what it is with those colossal.
Well, it's where, guys, where commodities are exchanged, right?
That's right. That's
so,
right.
I mean, you know, and that's what's going to be the big, you think stock market was big, that's gone, man. They're done. You know, it's going to be commodities.
That's right. Futures markets. I mean, the futures markets are now colossal. It's a place that likes to, it's a place where a lot of the folks in it are, in effect, the dominant source of cash in the place is for sure a set of financial markets. But, you know, his fundraising will be very broad-based among places where you've got super affluent folks. I mean, it's clear, I think, that what we have here is a reorientation and a sort of refocusing of the message and the campaign onto where they want to get the cash.
Well, are you going to have, you know, who's going to represent the poor people, the Republicans? I mean, you know, where is this
going? That one's hard to swallow if you look at the report yesterday about all the cash coming into the new GOP leadership in Congress that Open Secrets folks released. I mean, I think what you've got here is a fight between two parties that is financed by two different sections of, if you like, America's wealthiest citizens.
It always has been, and this is my point.
I have to tell you that I would not agree with that. You look at the New Deal, it's very, you see the giant surge in voting turnout that accompanied that, and the sort, you will forgive me if I think that things like Social Security and unemployment insurance, not to mention the Fair Deal that Harry Truman put in where they put the GI Bill of Rights, this is really, I think these were very constructive forms of legislation for ordinary people.
Yeah, right up until the Social Security check is going to buy you a loaf of bread.
No, it's all done.
It's all done. Well, we're going to find out very quickly, Thomas. And we'll talk about it more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit. You guys stay right there.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Turn on the tube. What do I see? A whole lot of people crying. Don't blame me. They point the crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all the time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy too fat. Get over it. Get over it. All this running and crying, bitching and fit. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Oh, yeah, I got put on my glasses. You don't get to see my nasty Resident Evil eye for the government. You know, this is what we're talking about. Thomas Ferguson and I have had this conversation before on various issues that come up. And it's, you know, there in his mind, there's a proper role for government. And there are programs that have been perceived as being successful and better our lives and so on. And he names a few. And I want to ask you one thing. I mean, in the 90s, as a libertarian candidate for Congress and so on, you know, of course, we would, you know, bring these things up. And Social Security is, you know, a safety net, a retirement program. I'm not sure how government got involved in that and why that should happen. But, you know, we look at it, and it was in the mid, almost probably like 2004 or 5, around in there, that they changed the cost of living adjustment standards. Because you have Social Security, you're going, look, it doesn't keep up with inflation. You'll have, I retire, and I go, yeah, I get a check, but I buy a loaf of bread with it. You know, we got to have, you know, the return I get on this has got to increase because it keep increasing the money supply and economic, you know, because you turn all these dials, they seem to think that one doesn't affect the other, and they do. And then the proper old gut, just get out of the way, and all these things take care of themselves, in my opinion. But what they did is they said, you know what? No longer is energy or housing and food and all this other stuff is going to be determined as part of the cost of living increase index. So when they took that out, as long as you don't eat or use energy or go anywhere, well, then your Social Security check's fine. So now with that, how do you repair that, Thomas? I mean, who do you blame?
Look, the issue here...
the issue is people getting money they can live on. That's what they were promised.
I do not... in my opinion, what Social Security should do is they ought to do a cost of living index for older retired folks. They have, you know, which on most people think would be tend to show a somewhat higher rise in the cost of living, not least because of the medical care inflation. There. And I'd be perfectly willing to look at that. That's what they ought to do. I have the impression, I haven't looked at the details of that 2004-05. I believe that was an adjustment that tended to lower the amount paid, and it was part of a Bush administration initiative to do just that.
Yeah, Obama fix it, did he?
Obama has, I am very suspicious of the Obama administration on Social Security. You can't find anything I've said or written that indicates that I have much confidence in there.
See, Thomas, my point is that it's not that I think it should be fixed or even can be fixed. I'm for government not getting involved in that stuff to begin with because they can't do it. It is not possible to micro-engineer a society. It doesn't ever work.
I have to tell you, I think that's, if you just look at Social Security, which is very
That's my perfect example.
Come on now, Ernest, you got to give me a minute here. Especially, remember, you're sick, Ernie. You know, you got to give me a chance to help you out here.
You're giving me energy, man.
the case, look, Social Security, it costs very little. In its administrative costs, it is very good at handing out checks, and it's something like a quarter or so of the population, 27% of it's its only support, and it's a substantial share of the income of something like, my memory on this is about 40% of the population. It's a lot of folks depend on Social Security, and I did appreciate, you know, some of the wonderful quotes that came out of some newspapers when people, there was one Tea Party person, at least they claim, you know, who's, we will not settle up with by a membership card, who said, you know, keep your hands off my Social Security check, you know. Well, hey, that's government in action. I mean, it's not not true that government can't do something helpful. What you got to do, however, is get, frankly, big money out of politics, and so that ordinary people can have a voice. If you don't do that, then you're absolutely right. Everything will turn to ashes.
Okay, let me go ahead and get on that point. I wanted to get that before the end of the show.
Yep.
Is the the ruling that came out that private entities incorporated in such a way that they can spend unlimited amounts on certain issues or whatever.
Citizens United, that case.
Okay, now the thing was is that the problem they're going, look, they gave individual rights to corporations and they can't be limited free speech and all that. And I'm going, but what about the individual? Right. I gave the corporation individual rights they can spend whatever money, but I can't?
Well, actually, you can spend. You can't donate to it. You've got
to an individual candidate.
But you're independent. Your right to an independent expenditure is unlimited too.
But I can't give it. I can't give it to an individual candidate.
That's right.
See, it's just more dials, Thomas. More dials. Get rid of the dials.
Okay, now Ernie, you got to give me a chance here.
All right, go.
Look, the case for this is very straightforward, and you know what it is. That elections are very costly. Now, either we all pay some of that small amount, or the folks who pay will control. Given the way the world is, guess who's going to pay, and guess who's going to control?
Take away the power. If you got power, money goes to the power. Eliminate the power, the money doesn't matter.
Another way of putting it is that money is power, and if you allow it to determine your state, policy, you'll be sorry. That seems to me, and I only need one panacea, and frankly, mine is public financing of elections. I mean, you get these guys so that they can't dominate the system behind the backs of everybody else.
All the more reason not to have elections. Yay!
No. We need elections, and we need them honestly run, clean elections.
I'm waiting for them to stop using the computers. I mean, you talk about Chicago. Are you kidding me? This is the root of the problem is that the people are not. If you're going to have a democratic constitutional republic, you have to have the republic part that's bound down by the chains of the Constitution part. And the republic is elected by the democratic part. None of those pieces are working. The republic is not bound by the Constitution. The people are not accurately being represented in the elections, I believe, in picking the republic. You have no limits on the power that they're taking from the individual that the government was supposed to be there to protect. So this system is irreparably broken.
Yeah, now we will hope not irreparably, but it's certainly...
Well, give me the fix.
It's pretty broken.
Give me the fix.
Well, take money out of politics, and you are very close to a fix. That's that seems to me to be the right move. Could we just circle back though to the question about?
You got about a minute. Go. I'll let you finish up. Go.
Yeah, I think the bottom line here is pretty troubling, not least because if you look even at say the WikiLeaks stuff on U.S. foreign policy, our guys spend a lot of time just trying to help corporations abroad. But the very same folks don't want to even pay corporate taxes. That movement is clearly coming, and coming from the Obama administration to reduce it. This is a little weird when you've got profits actually near their highest point in American history and high unemployment in the rest of the U.S.
Because they can! Thanks, Thomas.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I guess I'm going to have to talk this half hour. Top of the hour, in this next second hour, we have Robert Wheel. He's going to talk to us about U.S.-Chinese relations, and he's been studying India a lot, too. And I like bringing the guys on from the left because it's so obvious what's going on right in front of them, and to try and have them rationalize their way out of it. And what we're going to be talking with Robert about is, the relationship that we have with China and how this managed free market, you can have such a thing, economy is possible using a Chinese model And it seems like the United States has been demonstrating that's what we've been trying to do for decades. You know, it's this fascist, socialist, collectivist, whatever-ist kind of business model that China is, you know, they're going in the early stages of it. It's like China is coming in at about 1948 United States. You know, they're setting up an heavy state-controlled industrial revolution, and they're going to build up a middle class and get them to start spending or whatever instead of saving. And it's going to do the same thing. You know, they're going to start creating debt. They're going to start having big military and large state programs and all this kind of stuff. And then a demand of the people and protect us and save us and be for us or we're not going to play. And then, you know, blah, blah, same thing all over. So where do we go? The cycle is going to go quickly. That's why they call it revolution, you know, because it goes round and round and round. What I think is going to happen is that because of the speed of communication and transportation and energy and the ability to be off-grid more and more and more, this revolution goes faster. More people are informed more quickly, and they have a much wider understanding of what's really going on, what's done to them, and by whom. So what's the reaction going to be? I don't know. And I don't think it's going to be limited to borders or even languages. Because of technology, I mean, we got a Google Universal Translator now. It's like Star Trek. You know, you just talk into it and it says whatever language you just said, you know, instantaneously. When you have this ability and young people coming up, they, you know, a 13-year-old in Darfur and Shanghai and in St. Louis, you know, they're pretty much thinking the same thing. I want the cool whiz bang, you know, video game, and what's that, you know, pretty girl next door thing. You know, I mean, it's not that complicated. They try to complicate it. In fact, that's why they want to get you into the public schools younger and younger and younger age. So I'm pretty confident what's going to happen, but not before it all starts to fall. And they're going to be doing any and everything they can. And the one reason you have Thomas Ferguson on is that he has been very adamant about there are good government programs. We need to have government to do certain things. Every single one of his examples that he would have as a standard bearer for the use of government for something is like a neon flashing sign for me that it doesn't work. Come on. We have the Obama administration, chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, goes to Chicago to become Chicago's mayor. So you might as well just call him dictator. I mean, it's going to get bad. They have more surveillance video cameras. It's like London almost now. Then you're going to have, that's where Obama had his base. You know, there's a lot of poor minorities that live there, and they'll give them subsistence living, and they'll be volunteers in the Obama Nation kind of doing whatever thing. They'll be on the phones and on the blogs and I've seen it before, and here we'll go. They will have a network running this next election cycle out of Chicago. Chicago will also be where a lot of the money is. The commodities are traded there and so on. You're going to have, you know, big finance is going to get what they want. They already are. So this is, it matters if that was your playing field. It matters if that was, you know, you're going after that ring. It matters if that is the lever that you're battling over. You know, what if you just don't care? Let them have it. You know, it's like being in the wheelhouse of the Titanic. Yay. You know, I got the wheel, you know, gurgle, gurgle, gurgle all the way down to the bottom in the freezing sea. So I'm not that worried about it. I just point this stuff out because, dang, somebody needs to. I mean, damn. You know, you think it's going to get fixed? Well, Thomas thinks it should be. Wow. So it'll be interesting in the next hour. Let me tell you what happened this weekend. Those who listen to the show know that we were moving. So we made the big move Saturday and Sunday. Most of it done on Saturday. We had, you know, all the trucks and trailers and everything came over to our home. And that little house, man, there was a lot of stuff. So over the weekend, about 97.6% of everything has moved over to our new home, which is a couple of acres. It has some, you know, place for goats and chickens, and we moved our chickens over, and so on. We got space for more chickens. So people are going, wow, man, yeah, this is going on. You know, this is, I can see where you're going with this. But we're there. The plan is just a year to get ready because I want to be mobile. I know it's a nice place. My kids, you know, come visit us. They brought the grandkids over and look, oh, wow, this is really cool. We'd like to live over here. And, man, it's neat. And I've always wanted to live up in this farm. You know, it's still in Phoenix. A lot of people don't know this. But it's called Sunburst Farms, and it's irrigated and so on. It was, you know, like a couple acre farms back in the day. It's kind of got grandfathered in as the valley grew around it. So it's a very rural feeling in an urban area. I don't think that we're going to be able to stay there. Not more than a year. I think it's going to get bad. Let's put it this way. I'm planning on it getting really bad. And we're going to use this to learn a lot of things. Well, I wasn't able to help Saturday. Well, I've been sick all weekend. I mean, I want to talk about that a little bit too. But we'll go in the gun show. That was Saturday. Friday afternoon, we had Bob Templeton, which is the owner of Crossroads of the West Gun Show, on the show. And he's been a really good guy. You know, back in the mid-90s, when libertarian gun right advocates are, you know, were the evil bad guys, you know, from the opinion of the Republican Party and the NRA and all these guys, they were like, no, you can't support libertarians. You know, they're crazy people. We were crazy for our individual rights and were able to clearly articulate it. And none of this little fuzzy around the edges kind of making excuses for compromise crap. Well, Bob understood that. So while he didn't come out openly doing anything and I love them or any of that stuff, he just never charged us for a table. You'd be at the entrance, you'd be advocating for freedom, knock yourself out. I'd have my table for my radio show, you know, locally here. I was doing a morning show and so on. We'd be out there. We had it called the Gypsy Booth, the Libertarian Gypsy Booth. We'd have all our issues up and everything, fully informed jury and no property taxes and gun rights and all that kinds of stuff. And we went out there, and Mark Victor had a table and did a presentation, a speech. Supposed to do like a half hour, and he wound up being hours out there answering questions. Then we had OurWalletVoting.com. Excuse me. We had OurWalletVoting.com booth out there, and the guys, here, let me think. I think I got some of these cards. The really cool thing that Nick and Drew did is this. I got to show you on video. You can see this. They took a business card and they drilled holes in them and they put a silver dime in there, the 64 and earlier dime, and then they laminated it. And it's kind of like the Shire money that they had done before. They just had ribbons of silver. Well, these guys put the actual dimes, and here's one with a quarter. They put these up there and with a chart, and it shows how much this thing's really worth. How much is this coin really worth? You might be surprised. Well, you know, it's like $2 for the dime and over $5 for the quarter. So these were, you know, starting to be traded. I bought up all that I had. I'm like, yeah, I want them all, man. You know, so it's already started. This wallet voting thing is really taken off much better than I anticipated. And it's starting to be understood by a lot of people what it was. Next to us were these little young Marine guys, you know, these teenagers wanting to be Marines. They're drilling and so on. They always go to these gun shows and everything. And these kids understood it. They're going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they start pulling out their dimes and stuff. They carried silver around with them. I couldn't believe it. They understood. Do you understand? We'll talk about that some more when we come back to you.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Stop me now. If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Oh, court. Emmanuel's name cannot appear on the ballot. An Illinois appeals court has ruled that former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel's name cannot appear on the ballot for Chicago mayor because he didn't live in the city in the year before the election. The court voted 2-1 to overturn a judge's ruling to keep Emanuel's name on the February 22nd ballot. Wow. How will that mess up stuff? Well, I'm sure that Rahm's going to be head of Obama's re-election thing anyway, one way or another, whether he's mayor or not. So we'll see. I mean, we saw this with Joe Lieberman when he was defeated in the Democratic primary in some way. You know, he wound up, I don't know how he did it. I didn't care, but he ran as an independent and he, back being a senator again. I mean, you know, these guys are just going to do whatever they're going to do, get used to it. This is the way it works. So, you know, whatever. We'll go over the headline. I haven't been on the internet all weekend. Now, we moved from our home, and I'm just like, everybody else take care of the site, man. It's all good. Well, I'll go ahead and get caught up on my email and everything in the next couple of days. I'm not going to have full internet access where I'm at and everything all set up until probably Wednesday. So you guys get the, you know, it's a free-for-all. Now, and Pal Gamble and Tiger and everybody, they'll take care of it, and Thomas and Sierra and Don, everybody, they're taking care of the site anyway, so I'm good. Let me go ahead. I wanted to share this one thing. I haven't been this sick in years, decades. And the reason was, very simply, I got into a routine. Whenever I would get sick, I'd just start to feel, you know, the virus coming on in some way. I would first take a lot of vitamin C. And then I started adding zinc, you know, later on. I started to see how that worked. And I just held it off. You know, I just never really got to get a little bit, you know, sniffle kind of, you know, boom, done. I would take a little bit of zinc, you know, make sure that you got that in there. That helps. Then you have, I would buy vitamin C in liquid form from the health food store, and I go get, you know, a vitamin C, probably, I don't know, it's like 500 milliliters or something like that, and I just drink it all day. I mean, I'd OD on vitamin C. I mean, you know, tablets, whatever. The vitamin C. It's like gasoline for your white blood cells. I mean, you know, whatever it does, man, it works. So I do that. Then, you know, a lot of my friends, they're really big into, what do they call it, euthanasia or something like that. I never made that a big deal. And they're always, you know, throwing some kind of health tablet at me or something. Then I'd eat better. The juicing thing always helps. But this time, I didn't do it. And it was because we were packing when we moved. We put everything in boxes. So all of my vitamins and all of this stuff and everything were in a box somewhere underneath whatever. And I just kind of blew it off. I forgot what it was like to be sick. It's been so long. It's been years since I actually went a full cycle of the flu in bed, man, you're not getting up kind of stuff. I forgot what it was like. It sucks. I mean, it sucks, sucks, sucks. You know what it was like? Yesterday, I just laid down and just watched a movie. I got the TV. I had enough strength to muster up, you know, getting the TV up on a coffee table in the living room. I just put together with a DVD player, and I watched, what I watched first? I watched Avatar, Star Trek, the new one, and Dark Knight, the Batman thing. I just gave myself a treat. I'm just going to watch some movies all day. And because I couldn't sleep. My throat's really sore and so on. I couldn't even find the NyQuil. You know, part of our survival stuff is, imagine you're, you know, in Braveheart, at the very end of the movie Braveheart, you had the king, he's in there dying, you know, he's coughing on his deathbed. William Wallace is out there getting his guts wrenched out and everything, freedom, you know, and then the king dies. As the king is dying, he can hardly breathe, he's coughing, I'm going, that's how I felt, man, that'd be a sucky way to die. So I'm going, you know, I will remember next time until I forget again. But I am, you know, you take care of this before it starts. One, you eat decent and everything, do your juicing and all kind of deal. But when it starts, you start getting the flu thing. Oh, and you know, go get your flu vaccine crap. Don't even start with me on that. You know, I don't need to be putting poison in my body. But so in the past, I've always, for ever since I kind of got into, I'll tell you what started it. It was the vitamin C thing. When I started doing vitamin C, as I just started getting sick at all, I just OD on vitamin C because it worked one time back when I was poor and didn't have money. Wow, man, this made it like a day and a half thing. So since then, that's just, you know, I start getting sick. My wife and I, boom, we go get liquid C. And just how much can we take? You know, put it on our Cheerios, you know, use it like milk or something. I mean, a lot. So you do that, and you go, okay, and it's water-soluble. It just goes through your system. At least it hadn't done me any harm as far as I can tell. So I go, all right, you know, massive vitamin C. I didn't do it this time. I mean, I just started. We started unpacking, and I, you know, started taking a bunch now, and I'm on the mend. But it sucked. And what do we do in our survival stuff? When you have and you start stocking up, imagine how much would the Roman Empire have paid for NyQuil. You're in the medieval times and you got the flu and you're sick and everything, you know, just so you could go to, you know, so you could sleep medicine, you know, how much would you have paid for that? Like $1 billion a dose? How many, you know, people would you have killed, you know, to go get your bottle if you're king kind of thing. You know, technology and medicines and so on has really changed, you know, how much humans suffer or don't. So I'm looking for the NyQuil. It's like three, four in the morning. I can't sleep. I just, you know, I got to find the NyQuil. I went through every box. I got jackets on. I'm outside. I'm got my bathrobe. I'm looking, you know, finally, Donna, where is the NyQuil? Where is I wake her up? She goes, it's in one of the storage barrels out there. She gets it. I'm like, oh, take that, you know, and, you know, I slept until almost noon. I get up real quick and I get ready to come down here, do this. On my way down, Sierra's reading to me all the prep, you know, that we do on the guests and everything. So I'm like, you know, we made it. I'm telling you, to avoid this, there are a lot of things that I have learned over the years. You eat decent, you drink lots of water, liquid C, vitamin C, maybe some zinc. You know, a lot of people do a lot of other different stuff, euthanasia and herbs and all this kind of stuff. But all of that was packed away, and I wasn't able to do it. And I paid the price. Man, I won't be doing that no more. I'll be running down to the health food store and get me some more goodies. I forgot how bad it was to be sick. I didn't get any sleep Friday night, hardly. You know, I was, you know, not feeling well. And I had to get up really early to go to the gun show to set everything up. I had to be there, you know, by 8 o'clock and so on, get all set up for everybody when they came out there. I stayed the day. I did get the time to, you know, as you're in misery, you just, you know, walk the show and so on. So I got to see, you know, all the stuff that's there. I tell you one thing that's coming out a lot more now than I've ever seen before, and that's body armor. You go to the gun show, I mean, it's not like every table or anything, but a lot more variety in body armor than I've ever seen before. They also had on there a warning that they were starting to make it illegal. That soon, I guess they passed a law, it hadn't taken effect yet or a threat or something. But they're talking about it being illegal for you to have body armor. I'm going, what? It always reminds me of the... I bring this up every now and then, the old Tom and Jerry cartoon. And there was very few of them, you know, like two or three that I can remember where either of them actually said anything. And it really stuck in my head, Tom and Jerry going at it one time, and I don't know, Tom had something, he'd go to hit him with a frying pan or whatever, and he ducked. And he goes, you deliberately ducked. Very rare that they ever say anything, but I remember that, you deliberately ducked. Is that what the government says to us now? You're not allowed to duck. You're not allowed to have body armor. You're not allowed to protect your life against us when we want you dead. You know, I'm going, wow, man. You know, it's just an attitude. So, of course, they justify it that, well, anybody that have body armor means they're going to go do harm to somebody else. You know, and you know, I'm just, you know, it's just the attitude that they have, the way they look at it. Well, I didn't go Sunday. Because I was just too wet, man. We got done what we wanted to do. Nick and Drew had done these cards, and I think these are a great idea. WalletVoting.com. You go up there, and we'll get these up in the next couple of days. You know, you can order them or do them, or you make them yourself. And they made it where you can download these cards and so on. You just laminate them, and it's real money. This is like $2 right here. I mean, in real silver, and you can see it. It's U.S. minted coin. You know, I didn't even think of this. I go, what a great idea. Yep. We're going to be having more of this. We're going to be talking about it. This is going to take off. You watch. It's already getting its own legs. And I knew it would. Well, go ahead and stay there. We have our next guest coming up, Robert Wheel on U.S. and Chinese relations. And we'll get into India, too. This is going to be interesting. We'll be right back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.